Let's face facts. In this morally bankrupt society, life can be hard as a parent.
That's why we started this podcast, to help tackle tough questions.
To build a community of support and provide a parental break.
Life can come at you fast and society wants your children.
As a parent, it is our duty to be the leader in the fight.
We have been married for 5 years.
No topic is off limits, and we will give advice from a Christian perspective. We could all use a parental break.
Hello, and welcome to Parental Break with Jay and Kay. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin. And
this is our second episode tonight because we were doing episodes and realized, we didn't do anything about Father's Day.
Yeah, so this is a very late Father's Day / telling y'all where we're going to be for a few days.
We're going to have some pre-recorded episodes, which we're going to work on tomorrow night and... Yeah,
probably Wednesday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
No, we can't do Thursday.
Oh, we can't do Thursday. Oh, yeah, because we fly out Friday morning.
Okay, you want to tell them where we're going?
We're going to Montana.
Which, his mom and dad and Addie, who I miss, but I've enjoyed this a long time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Day-Day, our puppy, our big puppy. Who's, bless her heart, still scared of the fireworks.
Yeah.
But anyway, they just made it a few minutes ago. So we're happy and... grateful that God basically had his hand on them the whole time and made it there safely.
Yes, we do. Today, we're going to be talking about, since this episode was about Father's Day, and we're a little late. As always, we're a little late with our episodes.
Because when you have two people working.
Yep. Especially working like I'm working right now.
And I work from like 8 to 6. And, which I love my job.
But, today, in this morally bankrupt society, we're going to talk about what it takes to be a good father. And we're not talking about the father that's, you know, like the best friend of the child. That's not what it takes to be a good father. A good father, to be first, is a father that teaches their child about right and wrong and encourages them to do their best. I believe that full-heartedly. We tell Addie all the time, Addie, if you're going to do something in the world, you put your mind to it. And
boy, does she do it.
And she does it. And we've told her. Time and time again, if it gets hard and you don't want to do it no more, at least see it to the end. I don't care if you fail because you didn't like the subject. I do not care. Because I did that a lot of times. I mean, for crying out loud, I went through 5 years of college. My parents are big proprietors in that. They don't care how I failed. Or they care how I fail, but they also understand that if I'm going to fail and it's because of something I didn't like doing, they want me to see it through to the end. And a lot of parents are not like that. A lot of parents try to teach kids that you can be anything you want to be if you can put your mind to it and blah, 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 blah. And the world won't fail you, blah, blah, blah. They put them in this isolation that thinks that society's just going to give them everything on a silver platter. And I'm sorry, that's not the way it should be. Some of the things that we have found leading up to this episode, mind you, this was quick leading up to this episode because we started recording our Humanity Lost episode and realized, oh, we haven't done a Father's Day episode. So,
first list, I'm going to let you talk about your dad first.
Okay, where do you want me to start?
From the beginning, I guess.
Well, when his mom and
Not that. Okay. Not that, Justin.
You said start from the beginning.
I understand, but not that beginning. I think everyone knows how that happens.
Well, yeah, sure.
But anyway.
If you don't, you're probably one of these ones that, yeah. Anyways, we're not going to go there. Not in this episode. My dad, he's been my hero. And why? Because I can go to advice from him, and he tells me this, son, you may not like my advice, and you can take it whatever way you want. But the fact that you at least took my advice and understood what I was saying shows that you care about me. And that's how I teach, that's how I'm going to teach our daughter. At the end of the day, you could care less about my stance on something. But you're going to understand why my stance is the way it is. Because at the end of the day, I am your father. And you have to understand that I can, from experience, tell you how it is. There's some things mom can tell you from experience. There's some things dad can tell you from experience. I've always seen dad in my family as the leader. As the
provider.
Leader of the wolf pack. Because
nurturer.
The nurturer. Well, sometimes. I'd say that's more mom.
Yeah, but still, I mean.
And my dad is the strongest individual. My mom fell in what? 2014.
Right after we started dating.
And
that spring, actually.
My dad has been by her side. And to the point where he finally said that he needed to go into an early retirement to stay by her side. That he is willing to do anything for my mom with no questions asked. And my dad is a strong individual. He may feel like he's not, but the strength that he shows with my mother is the strength that I hope to show to Caitlin when we're older. When we're old and gray and we're rocking in rocking chairs on the porch. Caitlin, what do you guys say?
Where do you want me to start?
Well,
My story is different than yours.
Yeah. Your story is a lot different. I don't know where you want to start, baby.
I'll try not to cry.
I'm here for you if you do.
Okay. So, I never really had my birth father in my life. Him and my mom got a divorce when I was like, I think 2 or 3. And then by 4, like, I didn't see him ever again until I was 8 at a church convention thing. I think I just said 8. And then he didn't see me, but I saw him. And then I didn't see him again until I was a adult. And that was really hard. But anyway, he's passed away. I was pregnant with Addie when he passed away. And I still talk to my uncle and his brother. Like, we're still really close, because we have gotten back into a, you know, good uncle-niece relationship again. And I thank God that he sent him back to us. And but anyway, my mom married my now, I call him dad, I don't call him stepdad. He's just the man that stepped up. And today's their anniversary, so happy anniversary, Mom.
Wait, today's dad. Their anniversary?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
June 27th.
If you listen to the podcast, I'm sorry. I completely forgot.
Well, I'll call and let you talk to him.
Okay.
But anyway, he has been really good to my mom and us since they met like 2 years ago, almost in August. And I'm so thankful that he was there for my mom when she found out she had cancer last year. Because without him, I don't think she would be here.
No.
I know she has us, but she needs, you know, that her, you know, best friend with her. And I just thank God for putting them two together. But anyway, he loves us just like his own. And my mom loves his family like her own. So, and we do too. And I'm still the only girl in the family.
Yeah, and
I got two brothers from my mom and then two brothers from my dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love him so much.
Yeah. Some of the things that I found, you know, leading up to this quick episode that
I shouldn't say spur of the moment, but we just got to thinking.
Yeah, we were sitting here waiting to start recording our last episode, which will be up tonight. Wait a minute. We did an episode for Mom, but we didn't do an episode for Dad.
I think it's because of us getting ready for this trip.
I think that's what happened.
And
you think about it. Father's Day was what? Last Sunday?
2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Wait, no. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
Hold on a minute.
Because we went to church, remember?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
No, it'll be the third would be 2 weeks.
Ah, dang it.
So 8 days ago.
And we were in the middle of trying to get ready for this trip that it kind of just, as bad as it sounds, slipped our mind. But we hope everybody out there had a good Father's Day.
Now, let me say something for you from Abby.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do this without crying.
Is this the I love you to the moon and back?
No, you can tell them real quick what she made you at school.
Addie made me a picture, and it says, I love you to the moon and back, and she's a little astronaut.
She colored that whole thing.
Yep. Blue?
It was like a rainbow color.
Well, we figured out she likes blue.
She loves blue. That's her favorite color. I found that out from her pictures of her trip.
Yep.
They had they went to IHOP for breakfast one day. And the paper was yay big. Like, y'all can see me. The picture was really wide. She colored that whole thing just blue.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, it really does. But anyway, I just want to say thank you for being a good daddy to our bug and our Daisy.
You made me cry.
You made me cry.
Anyways.
I'm still trying to talk. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Love you.
Uh-huh. Love you, too.
We can't tell we're kissing on camera.
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I just thank you for being there for them and just playing, you know, when they want to. Like, when Addie calls for you, you come running.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say right now because I'm going to cry. But you know the rest of it.
Well, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
But the reason we're also doing this episode today, because there are new parents out there. I know a few.
I do too.
We want to give you a list of qualities of a good father, and you need to take them with you. This list is not based on biblical, or it might be. I'm not sure. But I wanted to go, because there are some people in our audience that actually listen that aren't biblical, that don't believe in Christ and all. but I wanted to give them some qualities that makes a good dad. And the first quality is a man plays an active role in parenting. They're not just, they don't just take one role of provider, protector, disciplinarian in the family. And that is true. You see too many times the father being the disciplinary person, or you see too many times the father being the protector, or you see too many times the father being the breadwinner. Because let's face it, there now these days in society, there are women that are breadwinners in families.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to talk about the last episode. Let's not talk about that because that one don't count. But there are parents out there that get this whole idea that the father has to be a certain category. You have to be flexible in every single category.
Oh.
If you have to discipline, you got to discipline. Mm-hmm. If you have to be the protector, by God, be the protector.
Yeah.
But if you're the provider, do it with your whole heart and provide for your family. The second thing is they're dependable. Being there through thick and thin. I can't tell you how many times we have gone to bed exhausted raising our daughter, but we're always there for her. Are we not, Kate?
Yeah. I think Daisy wants to go out.
Okay. I'm going to mute you for a second.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Daisy.
Sorry about that. You always have to be there for the child. I think this goes back to the video of Casting Crowns, the song from Casting Crowns. What's that song called? Now I gotta look it up because I can't remember what the song's called. Do you remember what the song's called? It's one of my favorite songs. I don't want to play it, but American Dream by Casting Crowns.
I don't know that song.
You don't know that song?
I do not know that song.
I would play it on here, but I think it would get us a copyright strike.
Yeah, let's not do it.
If
y'all have any downtime, free time,
listen to American Dream by Casting Crowns.
I think I'm going to have to do that too because I don't know that song.
I'm going to. So some of the words of this song is the guy's always chasing the American dream, trying to provide for his family, trying to do all the finer things in life. And forgetting that he has to be dependable. He has to be there for his child. He has to be there for the family. And this goes back to what I've said. You could be the provider, but you also need to be there and to be depended on. If Jack has a ball game, you need to be there for that ball game. Any way you can and any way how. Make it work with your schedule somehow.
Yeah.
I know sometimes it gets hard, but you got to be there. And the whole idea of this song is this man pours into a castle made of sand, and everybody knows what the Bible verse says about building your house on a land of sand. It'll get washed away when the waters come, but if you make it on a rock, it's harder to wash it away. And it gets to the point where the wife's starting to see that he's not involved. He's not there. And that actually brings us to our next point, the involvement of
a father.
Involvement is huge when it comes to a father. If anybody wants to look this up, it's by pbcexpo.com.au. I don't know how reliable it is, but going back to the whole thing about dependability, being there through thick and thin, this is not just being present and correct. It's about being consistently available for all our kids through the good times and the bad. Parents, you are going to go through those good times. You're going to go through those bad times. But you always need to be there to lend a helping hand, to be the shoulder to cry on, to be the encouragement. Because like we've said in this, in our podcast before, society wants your children. And if you're not there, society will take your children. Involvement. Being personally engaged in our kids' lives, interests, hopes, dreams on a daily basis, being curious and attentive requires us to put our distractions at one side. And you see it all the time, and we're even guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. Caitlin's guilty of it. You're out at a restaurant. What's the first thing you do? Well, you're waiting for your food.
On your phone.
We are trying to break that habit, are we not?
It's really difficult, but yes, we are.
Because if your attention's to your phone, you're not putting attention to your kids' interests, their hopes, their dreams, their day on a daily basis. Ask your kid how school went. Ask questions. Find out, well, why did it go that way? What could you have done differently? Ask those questions that could shows the child you're involved in their lives. Compassion. Showing compassion, hope, and belief when your child needs it most. Compassion is a state of mind or attitude that really helps us to feel connected and close to the human experience of being a child. Honey, how do you feel about that one? Showing compassion.
That's a good one.
Really?
Because a child needs to know that you're always going to be there and show love and kindness and be like their protector.
This one's very important to me. Valuing of mother. Showing respect, love of our kid's mother. This isn't just always agreeing with mom. Valuing is similar to validating our partner for who they are. And with all their imperfections. Showing love, respect requires action, not just thoughts, teaches our sons and daughters how to be treated. I'll say this about this. My dad is a big proprietor in this. Mm-hmm. He always, no matter if my mom is in a mood, he always shows my mom respect when she needs it.
Yep.
And he doesn't stray from that. And that's what I think is instilled in me with you, honey.
Yep.
You always need to show your partner the respect that they deserve. Respect, and it goes both ways. The respect and loyalty and the trust is earned by both parties. It's not one party over the other. We are not talking about a male submissive society. We are talking about the same things, both sides. Coming to the same agreements before you make that big decision. Putting in input. Yeah. I always take your input.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we may eventually go to what I say, or we may eventually go to what you say, but at least we've put our input into everything we do.
Oh, yeah.
Empathy. Listening empathetically in order to be understanding, present, and engaged. Putting ourselves in the shoes of others enables them to feel heard, respected, and valued, even if we don't completely get it or even like it. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that one, Caitlin?
Sorry, y'all. It's been a very long
day. I agree to an extent.
Yeah.
But going back to our last episode, there's a point where empathy can get to, what's the word I'm looking for? To understanding.
Yeah.
And it gives into behavior. Mm-hmm. Being verbally expressive. to clearly communicate, uphold guidelines, being tough yet fair, without belittling or being controlling. I agree with this one. This one's hard to work on because there's times that I'll raise my voice and Addie's like, and we have to make her understand that there's a time for me to talk softly to you.
Yeah.
And there's time for me to be firm. And when I'm being firm, I expect what needs to be done, done.
Yeah.
And there's no red, there's no gray area in that. It has to be black and white. Mm-hmm. Being human. To own mistakes, be open to feedback, teach that growth is a lifelong endeavor. So Dad and Mom get it wrong sometimes. I reckon teaching our kids to be humans means we have to show our humanity, our own humanity, as often as possible. I agree with this.
Yeah.
There is only one individual in the entire history of the world that was perfect. And that man died for your sins.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to turn off the non-believers in this episode. If you want to skip this part, you can. But we are not perfect. We are never claimed to be perfect.
No.
I make mistakes. Caitlin makes mistakes. Yeah. Even our parents made mistakes. But we have to understand that we need to be open to feedback.
Yeah.
Which I take feedback all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach that growth is a lifelong endeavor. Yes. You are going to fail sometimes. That's just how society is. You are going to fail. But how do you respond from your failure? Do you crawl up in a ball? Or do you face your failure head on and say, I'm not going to let it happen again? Caitlin, how do you feel?
Sorry, I'm playing the game on my phone.
What was that about being attentive? I'm just kidding.
Like I said, it's been a long day.
I bet it has, babe.
But it's been a good day.
Anyways, let's move to the next one. Honesty. Teach and live by the values of honesty and integrity. Okay, Caitlin. Say something.
Yeah, it's just that's one of the top, like, what's that word I'm trying to find?
Tears.
I'm gonna say bullet points of any kind.
Yeah, it would be tears.
Of any kind relationship.
Yes.
Honesty is is major for me.
Yes, you always gotta be upfront. Tell it like it is.
If not,
your kids may not like you for being honest with them.
Can you stop cutting me off?
Sorry.
Because I'm just being honest.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Caitlin told me to cut myself off.
I'm just kidding. I just forgot what I was just talking about. So you just go on.
No, go ahead.
I forgot what I was talking about.
I'm sorry.
You'll be okay.
You have to be honest with your kids because they'll respect you for that. They may hate your decision in the end with you being honest with them. I mean, there's sometimes that I don't agree with what my parents tell me, but they're honest. Just like today, I had a town hall with Lindsey Graham and they told me, be careful what you say.
They know him.
Well, I have no filter.
No, you don't.
That's
a little sad.
And I told them this was the question I was going to ask, and they said the question works. They just said, be respectful. Because he took his time to answer your questions, which honestly he didn't, but he answered other questions.
Bless you.
Sorry. But be respectful with the way you do things.
Yeah.
We taught you to be respectful, so be respectful. Number 9, playfulness. Show delight in your child through fun and play. The benefits of dads playing has been researched, particularly the rough and tumble play. It teaches our kids to regulate their feelings, accept limits, and boundaries. Caitlin, you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, just do what they want to do. Like, figure out what they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I sometimes have trouble with this one.
Yeah.
Again, I'm being honest. I'm showing that I'm being human. I work all day. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. By the time y'all get home from daycare, I get home from work.
Yeah.
But I still try to make a little stride to play with my child.
Yeah.
Ask them what they're doing. Ask them what they're playing with. Yeah. What are they watching on TV? And then I watch it with you.
Even though Addie jumps on my back and says, let's go, horsey. No, thank you.
And finally, number 10, be industrious. Model a healthy work ethic as a source of personal accomplishment and satisfaction. This isn't necessarily associated with work. It's a valuable attitude towards tasks in general. I struggle with this one, too. Mm-hmm. This is one I gotta work on. See, this list is pretty good because it shows some things I have to work on as a father still.
Yeah.
And understand that, parents. If you look at these 10 categories and you're saying, oh, I struggle in that one. Oh, I struggle in that one. It's a good thing because you're showing, one, number 7, you're being a human. You don't have all the questions yet. You don't have all the answers. You don't have all the outcomes. You are showing that you're vulnerable, but you're also strong, and you're willing to work at it. Mm-hmm. These are some of the things I need to work on. Like, for example, I need to be more playful. I need to be more industrious. There are times I come home and I fall asleep.
Yeah.
I agree with those. So, anyways, let's see if there's another one. This one's from askmen.com. This is a good list. He teaches his children to accept things. A good father never lets his child take what they have for granted. From the food on the table to the good education he's paying for. A good father will make his child see the value in everything they have. He will ask his child to get a job to help pay for part of his first car. Take the time to illustrate how important a good education is. He doesn't let his kids treat him like an ATM. Instead, he teaches his kids to appreciate important purchases. What do you got to say to that one, Caitlin?
I agree with that. Because kids nowadays, some of them, rather just sit on their tails and do nothing and let mom and dad pay for it, all of it for the rest of their life.
Or then in some cases, they sue their parents for giving birth to them.
And that's ridiculous.
Yo, you read that story?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. 2, he's open-minded. A good father understands that times, people, and tastes change over the years. Doesn't try to maintain some of the gold standards of his time. I disagree with this one.
Your phone's playing that song.
Oh, oops. I don't agree with this one. Mm-hmm. Because you can be open-minded.
Oh, you won't.
But I guarantee you, my child's not going to wear the clothes that kids are wearing these days.
Oh, no.
My child is going to look like a sophisticated young lady. She may not like it, but she's going to do, if she lives under my roof, she's going to have to do the things I tell her to do.
Yep.
He accepts that kids aren't exactly like him. I understand this one, but I also disagree with this one. Because yes, you got to understand your kids aren't like you, but you're also molding your kids out of your legacy. Mm-hmm. What do you do with your kids to prove your worth to your kids? Yep. Because Well, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, because you aren't trying to show worth to your kids. You are trying to show that your kids are your kids. I've seen parents do it the wrong way, and the kids resent their parents. But I've also seen parents that do it the right way, and those kids grow up to be sophisticated members in society.
Yep. It's like a saying that I know. What do you want to leave for your children and family when you pass away?
Oh, what do you do in between the dash? Have you heard that poem?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Let me see if I can read that poem. Let's see here. It's called The Dash, I believe. Get rid of one of these ugly stories that we just did. Okay, here it is. Okay, so this poem is titled The Dash. Because, you know, and this poem stuck out to me because, you know, when you go to a funeral and they put a birth date.
Yeah.
And then they put the date of interment.
Yeah.
Is that the word, interment?
No, not interment.
Date of death?
Yes.
Okay. I thought there was another name for it.
No, so like, let's take my grandma because she has passed on. So, she was born on April the 8th of 43, and she passed away on January 13th of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put, like, January the 17th of 17, that's when we had her funeral.
Mm.
You know, they put the date of passing.
Okay.
But anyway.
Anyways. Well, think about the dash between those two numbers as your life's your legacy. And this poem is by Linda Ellis, and it's one of my favorite poems. I actually heard this poem when I was in college, and it's very profound to me. So it's titled The Dash Poem. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that first came the birth date of birth, and spoke the following dates with tears. But he said what matters most of all was a dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they have spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live life, live and love, and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you like to change? For you never know how much lifetime is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more. And love the people in our lives like we never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remember this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said about how you spent your dash? It's a very profound
That's poem. A really good poem.
I heard it in high school.
Yeah, see, I never heard it before.
Well, not high school, college.
See, I never college. Went to college. So.
And it's always stuck out to me because it's true. We're not guaranteed tomorrow.
No, we're not.
We're not guaranteed today.
The next minute.
We wake up every morning, our Christian friends, wake up every morning thanking God for waking us up today. Mm-hmm. We need to put more into our dash.
Yes.
If there's things in your life you need to change, it's not too late to change them. Even a change tomorrow and you pass away tomorrow, I mean, pass away next week or in 2 days, is a new impact on your dash. And I think, honestly, life is too full of issues.
And it's too short.
And it's too short that you have to worry about the things that matter.
But don't worry.
Family.
Yeah, don't worry about like the drama and stuff like that.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, that'll fall by the wayside when you mm-hmm. pass. And you need to focus on how you're living your dash. I think that's very profound. And honestly, I think that's where we should leave our episode.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
And always remember to our Christian friends, God's got you, no matter what the issue is. And to the parents out there, there is hope and help for everyone. All you got to do is ask. Don't be afraid to ask. And we're not going to always get it right because we don't claim to be perfect. But at the end of the day, as long as you're making strides in your child's life and your child sees it, I think you're going to come out all right. Don't you agree, Caitlin?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that'll do it with Parental Break with J&K. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, we have now reached 10 episodes. If you want to be a guest on our podcast, please email us at the email provided. Caitlin and I have decided after 10 episodes, we are now going to allow guests. So if you're interested, email us. We will email you back. We hope you have a blessed one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.